Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the one and only Pro Wrestling Interviews. This is Dr. John Stamey. We're so glad to have everybody here tonight. We're just a minute late due to a technical difficulty, but we are glad to be here. So, first of all, Papa Stro Maestro, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, great to be here with you guys. I missed you all, so it's great to be back.
We're so glad to have you here. And, of course, Sinister is here. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm grateful for having me.
Well, great. Well, we're so glad to have you. And who else is on the line? We've got a number of people. And again, I'm sorry, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty getting things rolling tonight. So who else is here tonight?
Well, I thought you didn't recognize my number.
Oh, really? Susan Green, of course. Yeah, the absolute queen of wrestling, Susan Green. Thank you for being here. And we got some other folks. Steve Logan, it looks like you're here tonight. How are you doing?
Doing good. Just got some food. Glad I can call in.
Well, that's great. And Todd Jackson, another one of our co-hosts. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Outstanding and supernatural and ecstatic to be here.
All right, and if I missed anybody, please let me know because we're just glad to have everybody here. Who else is here?
Well, Granny's here.
Marco. Hey, Granny, how are you doing over there in Arkansas? We're so glad to have you here. That's great.
Thank you.
So we got a wonderful time. So now I tell you what, one of the reasons that we're here is because people have issues. And now, Sinister, you told me earlier today that you had an issue that you wanted to discuss. So would you please get the ball rolling, kind sir?
Oh, yeah, no problem. All right, I want to start off by saying this, Chris. This is what kind of gets under my skin when it comes to the business. Cody Rhodes. All right, I understand you got frustrated in the WWE. Things didn't go your way, so you took off and you went, you know, to another company with Tony Khan and got into another promotion. Things went good. You start building yourself up. Now all of a sudden, the same people that you say you hated, that you couldn't stand, that you would never work for again, you running right back to these people because you couldn't get Tony Khan to give you more money due to what another superstar like CM Punk was getting. And my thing is this. Why you just made an entire company look like a laughing joke. I mean, I just don't understand these guys. This is why it's so hard for people in independence to get to the big leagues. Because you have these crybabies like Cody Rhodes. Don't know if you want to stay or leave. Now he got some issues with Tony Khan. Now he's running right back to the WWE. And, I'm like, you just getting the company started. You know, the AEW is doing good. They're getting momentum. And now they got problems because of people like him. And I think that just hurts the business. I mean, anybody else may have a different opinion or see it differently, but that was just one of my issues.
I don't see it different. I sit there and wonder how long they're going to keep him before they cut him or they go back to Goldfinger. You know, I mean, I think him being the nightmare or whatever he is, following after his father's footsteps, being but going back to where he came from, I know that was a lot of heat between him and his father before his father passed away. And, of course, it got cleared up before he passed away because he didn't think he should do that. He didn't like the Goldfinger gimmick, whatever it was. But it was
Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust.
Cool.
It's But it's one of those situations that, you know, is he going to go back to that when he goes back to WWE, or and how long will they keep him? You know, they can offer him a contract, and like a lot of the girls, and I had begged Rhonda Singh, Bertha Faye, not to go, because we'd been traveling the world together. And she wanted to work Madison Square Garden, and she lasted 90 days, and contract was cut, and within 3 months she was dead when she left. And, you know, didn't get a renewed contract. So, and the girls don't get treated the same as the guys because they don't think the girls can. And of course, nowadays, they're superstars, they're entertainers, they're not wrestlers. And back in my day, if you couldn't wrestle, you know, we didn't try to make you, we tried to break you. You know, it wasn't. And when I train somebody, you can talk to Big Hoss and Amazing Velvet. I broke them before I made them. You know, it's one of those that you know, I didn't want people in wrestling that was going to do exactly what Vince did to the business.
Right.
You know, because it was a job. And how many of us was there when we beat the crap out of each other, and we did it night after night after night after night and two-a-days, and enjoyed it for 40, 50 bucks. Yeah. If we made 20,000 a year, and I know some of the girls that only made 6,000 a year, and they did it because they loved it. And of course, a lot of them was given, God rest her soul, given Moolah 30% of that 6,000. You know, so they were really living on pennies because doing something that they loved. Now, I was one of the lucky ones that worked under Lillian, but I had a cough. And June Byers, before I left from Texas, she sat there and said, "Well, that's when you get out there, you need to walk to the beat of your own drum." And it was like, "Well, if you don't have me in the ring, I'm going to work. I'm going to do something." And, of course, I started driving the wrecker for her boyfriend. And whether I was in the ring or driving a wrecker, I was making money, you know. And of course, when she tried to get 30% of my money for driving the wrecker, her boyfriend wouldn't give it to her, and I wasn't giving it to her. I said that contract I had with her was when I was between the ropes, not when I was on the road. She would get whatever money I made, but when I wasn't on the road wrestling, my money was my money, you know, because I also played in a band, so she had to give me notice, and she saw that I was making money, so she kept me in the ring, so when I was with her, I made money because she wanted the money I had, you know, so I was one of the lucky ones under her. In the 70s, that made money before the girls got, well, before Vince really took over the girls and started paying them and took the control out of Moolah's hands.
Cody, I heard, was upset that he didn't have any booking power, and I think they booked him into a corner with him not being able to challenge for the world title as early as they did. So how can he make top guy money if he can't go for the top title? You know, that's why he kept winning the TNT titles several times. So I think those are the two factors of why he left, was money and not having any say in the booking anymore and not being able to challenge for the world title so that he could make the top guy money.
Well, you know, this business is just like any other business. Money changes everything. I don't care if somebody says they hate someone's guts, they'll never go back there. Dang it, you learn about this business, never say never, because money talks.
Amen. And that's one of the things that Dusty's wife still got stock in that company, she's tried to help some of the guys that I trained get up there, and they've looked and talked, but, you know, it's like they don't want to offer enough money or the road travel, and it's just not worth them doing, you know, but they've had offers, and it's one of those things that luckily they're smart enough, and now with them being close to 40, it's like they're too old, you know, because they don't want to. You got to be young and be able to take all the injuries that WWF can handle you. Because whenever I saw Lita do that head scissors Hurricane Carana, I sat there and said, "You're used to doing it to guys." And I said, "The first time you get a girl that's a little bit shorter than the guys that you're doing it on, you're going to break your neck." And mm-hmm. lo and behold, if she didn't break her neck, you know.
Yeah.
But of course, then she got out to start go back to her music career and stuff. But it's one of those things that the way you have to be an entertainer for WWE nowadays, you're looking for torn ligaments, torn ACLs, broke neck, broke backs. And I just cringe at some of the stuff, you know, because back in the 60s, when I did the big dive off the top rope, that I was one of the highest flying girls there was, you know, and I guess I was the Jimmy Snuka of the females because I was the only one that did that big dive off the top rope. And I sat there and said, you know, I guess it looked bigger because I was 6 foot. Standing up there and diving, but I wouldn't think about doing a 2.5 flip or 1.5 flip off the top rope and or onto the rope ground and sitting there because it's like, make sure y'all catch me, you know.
Yeah, right.
and I ain't gonna trust nobody because in today's wrestling. It's like, well, if you get hurt, it's going to get me more bookings. And I don't know, guys, if y'all look back, and if the fans that are listening, if they look back, the females weren't allowed to wear knee pads or elbow pads or braces. I wrestled for Roy Showers with a blown knee, ACL, and hobbled out to the ring. Knowing because I had a motorcycle wreck, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it was my first tour in 71 for 72. I'd graduated in 71 and it was first tour in May. And then he sat there and said, "Why are you hobbling?" And I said, "Oh, I just kind of tripped at one of the gas stations. I didn't tell him I had a motorcycle wreck, you know, and tore my knee up." And then that Lillian Mula sent me out there, and here I was the only driver, and I drove my car from Columbia, South Carolina to San Francisco in 72 hours, and the first shot was the cow power,
oh,
and I
Lord.
Sat there and said, I about had a heart attack. I said, Roy walks in, and he starts barking, and it's like, and I don't know if y'all might, Strobe, you probably heard the war stories of Roy Showers.
He was
a little guy, but
right.
He would put the fear of God, and you mm-hmm. think Satan was standing there barking at you. No,
yeah.
But he paid good. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I will sit there and say that he was the best paying. He was better than Men Senior. You know, so I said when I went to California for Roy Showers, I knew I was going to make money. But I sit there and said that he also told Lillian, with KKA Mueller, that if I didn't come out in May, because he only used the girls in May because that's when school was getting going out, and he said we kept his crowds up because they knew the girls were only going to be there for 3 weeks, and it was going to be when the end of school. So if they wanted to see girls, they had to come to the matches. So his crowds never really went down that much. Money talks, when a promoter barks at you, if you want the money, you're going to do what he does, you know, what he wants, I can't believe that Cody's going back, but knowing that his mother still has stock, and not that that much matters, it gives her payday, but I guess it does matter because she's got stock, but it obviously wasn't getting her any pull before, but if I left somebody and felt the way that he did and did what he did when he left, I wouldn't be going back to the promotion. You know, I know some of the independent promotions that I had worked with, they'd get mad at me and say, I'm never going to use me. And I said, well, call me when you want me. You know, my number ain't changed.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, I can understand. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Sister, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead. You go ahead. You was first. Okay. Go ahead.
I had a question for Ms. Green. Recently, WWE's been doing these shows in Saudi Arabia, and they kind of have to wear full body suits. Would you prefer that over not wearing any knee pads or
I definitely would say it wasn't that we didn't. My knee was blown. I should have had a doctor put me in a knee brace when I left the hospital after the wreck. But when promoter sat there and said, Pat Patterson said, you can't wear that thing. They come to see your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the men actually are coming out to see what, you know, the One Piece bathing suit showed. And I said, we didn't wear the low-cut bathing suits. I said, you know, it was just a normal, I guess my V-neck bathing suit, but it didn't show very much, you know. And they weren't in the low-cut backs in the back like they started back in the 80s and the fringe-cut legs. And I actually had a lot of promotions because if you look back in the 60s, some of my bathing suits looked like they had a skirt on the front of them, and they said, well, you can't wear that. And I said, y'all get over it. You know, and we're talking back in, I wore the Catalinas and the DeVille bathing suits that they went to a Belk's or a Macy's and paid $125 to $200 for a bathing suit back in the 60s and 70s, and I actually, talking to some of the girls that have their suits custom made, I was paying more for a regular bathing suit than what they're paying for their custom ordered gear, you know, that they're getting today. But I do think the ones that are, I don't like all the chains and stuff that are hanging on some of the girls. I think Medusa was very sharp with her suits that she wore that had the one leg covered and the other leg like a bathing suit. You know, that was appealing because it was different, but it didn't show her body. You know, I mean, it covered one leg up totally, and you got to see the other leg.
I want to. I wanted to get your opinion because I wanted to get your opinion because in the Saudi Arabia shows they had to dress modestly, and I really liked Ronda Rousey in the gi, given her judo background, so it was kind of neat seeing them in different gear than usual.
They pay major fines if they show any midriff or if they have malfunctions on the wardrobe with the females. Just like in the state of South Carolina, if you show blood, you got so many seconds to for the referee to stop the match. Well, whenever WWF was still letting the blood appear, Vince knew it before he got the permits and all that and paid the fines before it happened. So he knew what was going to happen, so he already he didn't have to worry about the LLR calling him and saying, you owe this much or you won't be coming back. He paid the fines ahead. And that's
right.
All fine and dandy, but I think the people with the females today, they're looking for the – well, first of all, I don't see how some of the suits stay in place. They have to be painted on because they don't move, And I don't know if y'all notice all of the female wears leggings. It's flesh-tone leggings, the ones that don't have leggings on. And I think Charlotte actually wears in her midriff between her top and bottom two-piece, that there's a flesh screen that holds the two pieces together because she actually has that tattoo on her rib cage in memory of Reed. And it does not show up in the matches. On her rib cage. So, there's a lot of countries that if females show more than a one-piece bathing suit, they're fined. And some promoters pick up the fine, and some of the promotions that I work for when I was in India. The girl that I worked with, some of the suits did some malfunction and did lose their pay. They're paid for the night because something happened. The suit, mainly the suit would ride more up and show more buttocks than should have been showed. And I sat there and said, so whenever we're in India, it's like, don't you dare grab my tights, because... Who wants to wrestle and not get paid, or give it to the to the athletic commission,
going back to the knee pad deal, when I was teaming with Greg Valentine, and I had a conversation with Dory Funk Jr. too, it was like, I would ask him all the time, how the heck can you work in the ring with no knee pads? I mean, my God, knowing my luck, I can stare at a canvas with no knee pads and hurt. I don't see how they did it to this day. Crazy.
I talk to me and Tony Rose still communicate weekly, and I got to where she goes to a lot of the fan fest and matches with me because she'll sit out whenever I go to wrestle with my pictures and stuff. And it's seeing all the new girls, and I sit there and said, well, we learned how to do everything. And of course, female-wise, we didn't do a lot of knee drops and all that, but we did a lot of sliding. But so we were used our elbows. I got scars from Matt Burns. On my knees and my elbows, and I said, that's what we were more afraid of. Not that we were afraid of them. We just, in our bag that was part of our gear, we carried around the BFI powder. If any of y'all know what the BFI is, it burned like the dickens, but it cleared that mat burn out real fast. I said, it burned it on Monday, and by Wednesday, you didn't have a mat burn. And it was just the powder that you sprinkled on. That's it. When you come out of the shower, they sit there and they say, you're going to put it in. It's like, yes. And it's like, well, when you're going to put it on you, when we sprinkle it on our knee or our elbow, we'd start sit there and start running around in circles because it burnt so bad. And I don't know what was in this little I don't know if it even, I don't even know if we still make it. I still got some because normally if something works, I always bought 3 or 4 cans and bottles of it. But, I mean, it looks like about the size of a Visine bottle, but it was a little metal bottle or a little metal can that you shook out. But it was called BFI. And I said, but boy, when you put it on, you didn't have to worry about a Band-Aid because it was going to be healed in just a matter of, I'm going to say seconds, but I said, within 2 days, you didn't have a mat burn. But, you know, with the gear and everything, I've sat there and brought it to Tony's attention because I don't get cables. So I only if it's on regular channels do I get to see the wrestling and stuff. But I said, I won't even watch it unless it's somebody that's going to do a wrestling match. I'm not into all the flipping and catch me and me have to cringe whenever I see somebody do something and looks like somebody, because I actually saw Charlotte and Rhonda spun her around and she actually, between the apron and the steps, I would have thought she broke her neck. But I guess being flexible enough, she curled up knowing, and I guess that's from knowing where you're at. And Joe Blanchard, when he trained me, is like, you need to know where you're at in the ring, outside the ring, standing up, upside down, flying through the ropes, coming in over the ropes. You know where you're at because the ropes are what's going to hurt you. You know,
Amen.
the ropes have got me a time or two. I said, there's times that I'm glad that some of the arenas don't have steps because I don't have to try to remember where they're at the eight on the ring, because if I get lost where they're at, I don't have to be worried about being thrown out and trying to dodge the steps.
But it's
I guess with me, I'm just being old school, and I think the females really could do more and get more respect with a one-piece bathing suit. You know, Tony, she actually put the elastic in the legs of the bathing suit so tight that they didn't move. She didn't have to worry. Well, I ran mine through the legging of the bathing suit to where I could tie mine right before I went out, and because you actually tied it so tight that it almost cut the blood off to your legs. When you come back, the last thing, whenever I got through the door out of the view of the fans, I was unloosening the legs of my bathing suit to where I could get blood to my legs. Because I was not going to let the bathing suit light up. And I guess that was one of the deals that Lillian Miller would like to do on the girls. If she didn't think they fixed the legs in as a bathing suit, she'd like to pull their suits up. And then they're trying, you know, one of her rules was you didn't touch your bathing suits. Once you got in your bathing suit, once you got out in front of the fans, your business was in the ring to wrestle, not to readjust everything. And I thought, you ain't gonna get mine. Mine's gonna be so tight you can't grab it. I will sit there and say, from what I can tell with Charlotte and the other ones that are wearing the one-piece bathing or the two-piece bathing suits, they look like they got flesh tone leggings on. You know, I mean, they're
speaking of
obviously
that,
paid a lot for, and they're true to the shade of their skin, because you don't see the difference between the arms going down next to the legs, so they really get the shade good. I'm with you about Ronda Rousey going back with her karate or her judo.
Yeah, her judo gi.
Yeah. I don't say I was upset, but I don't think that I don't know her background. I don't know if she's got Irish in her, but I didn't think that I would have tried to let her ride on the wings of Ronnie Piper with Rowdy Rousey and the kilt and all that. You know, I would have let her come in with what her background was, with it being in the Olympics and the key gi, but I'm not the boss. I can only voice my opinion, and they don't listen to me, so.
I understand that, but.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's something I want to touch on, something that you said about, you know, the injuries and, you know, how they, you know, people should be trained.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that on AEW, Jay Cargill was doing a match against AQA or Aqua, whatever she calls herself.
Yeah.
All right. I can see Jay Cargill, you know, she's been coming along, coming into her own, uh-huh. but this other female, she didn't exactly know where she was in the ring because she was walking. Jay Cargill was, like, laid out, and she almost tripped and fell over her. And
oh, my
then
God.
She got on the top turnbuckle, and she fell off the turnbuckle. And it was a lot of stuff she done, but Tony Khan went ahead and signed her. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. If you do this in any other promotion, they just pretty much boot you out. And then,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about not being untrained. Randy Rhodes came out and did a promo with Dan Lambert, and we already know Dan Lambert how voiceful he is. And she couldn't even hold her own. And I'm like, these people are not trained, and they. Tony Khan just throwing them out there, throwing money at them, but nobody's being trained. And
yeah.
The whole show is starting to look like garbage right now.
Yeah. Well, I can
tell
you
they
now,
got the
I train more.
Down there
yeah.
With Dustin.
Yeah, well, I train more men than I do women because all the women come in and start saying that they want to be superstars or they want to be divas and all that. And I said, well, there's the door you can leave. I'm, you know, I'm here to train you to wrestle. I'm not here to train you to show your body.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
Because I went today and heard Nikita Koloff preach at Big Hoss's church. He told me he was going to be there, and I picked up Tony, and we went over and listened. And Nikita pulled off and said, you know, and y'all may know him as Furman, but I call him Big Hoss because that's the way I met him. And he sat there and said, whenever he learned how to wrestle, he sat there and said he had a woman beat him to death. And I thought, oh, my God, don't pull me out. You know? Because I was sitting about four people down from Big Hoss. And from he just turned and looked at me, and I just bowed my head. I thought, please. You know, I'm here visiting at the church because Big Hoss had told me about him coming, and I wanted to hear him preach, and it had been a while since I'd seen Nikita, and of course, Nikita said he kind of remembered me, and I said, well, he used to have longer hair, and I said, the only thing that I could sit there and say that might point me out or make me stand out is I wear a Western hat, and I wear red, white, and blue. And then, you know, I'm from Texas, and I always pulled off the Texas angle. And he says, well, you do, but you don't. And I said, well, I would have never thought you were you because you're about half the size you were, if not a third. You know, because he said when he walked away from wrestling, he stopped all the vitamins, and he didn't immediately turn to Christ, you know, that a gentleman had told him that he had prayed for him for 5 years before he had went up front and gave his life to God, you know, and I thought, well, he says, you know, you never know who's going to be praying for you. And I thought, well, that's very true. You never know when your last day is, you know. But I said, you know, that he definitely was somebody that I was impressed with in wrestling. And I said, well, I started to bring a picture of us, but I didn't want to sit there and act like a fan, you know. I just wanted to be come to hear your service. And he said, well, I always find it for you. And I said, you know, we've hugged and we shook hands. And of course, when we first shook hands, I'm a crowbar. So I have a tighter handshake than most. And whenever he looked at me, I said, I'm a crowbar. And of course, Big Hoss just sat there and said, you learn. You know, and I thought, well, you know, I beat you to death. You're gonna learn to take it, and whenever you get in there, you're gonna know what to do. but it's amazing that with WWE, they don't want anybody to be trained except through their school now. You know, that they're not picking up anybody from my understanding. You're trained as an entertainer, you're not trained to wrestle. Yeah, and then I said, that's a crying shame because it's a lost art, you know, to really wrestle.
Yes, it is.
I get mixed messages from WWE because they don't want any talent, but then they sign Roxy, who's one of the best independent female wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, what is it then?
Yeah. I get it on Channel 57 Fox and I think I'm basically getting Ring of Honor and I might get AEW that runs on Fox, but if Tony calls me and says, you know, look, and it's like, only call me if there's something to look at. Don't call me because you have it for your cats to look up, slap at the screen. You know? I'm not going to look at something that I can sit there and get mad at and want to throw a rock through my or I want to shoot my TV.
You know, I'm the same way. You know what I mean? I'm pretty open. Like, if someone's going to call me and do some work for a promotion, that's cool. But, you know, I mean, I just want to be around an environment that every time I turn around, I'll see something that just irks me to the core, to no end. And, you know, you got to be happy with your environment. And if you're not happy with the environment, then, you know, it'll never work.
No. It's tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. And, get away before I have to see anything else go crazy.
Yes.
Absolutely. And Sinister, do you have any more to your question?
Probably one more thing, and I hate to bring it up because every time I see these guys on TV, I'll be ready to put your phone in the TV screen. Why in the world is they bringing Steve-O from Jackass and Bad Bunny in the wrestling? They're not wrestlers. They're not even entertainers.
You mean Johnny Knoxville?
Well, yeah, Johnny Knoxville. I can't tell them apart anyhow. But it irritates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I think it's because they can't make stars. They only have Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, so they had to bring in these celebrities.
Well,
that's nothing new with them, honestly. You know, I mean, they've you know, WrestleMania was like a big thing to have some, you know, celebs there and stuff like that. But they've had a lot of people in the rings over the years. A lot of people in the rings over the years.
I know some of these older stars I talk to that are retired and they keep bringing them back. You know, they had this, they had the same conversation with me. It was like, you know, I wish they would build more new stars because I think we get tired of being called back to the ring where we're trying to retire peacefully.
Yeah. Bruno Sammartino didn't want the title eventually. He told them he didn't want to be champion anymore because it was too overbearing to schedule on them.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. What do everybody think of Stone Cold's return to WrestleMania?
I think it's a bit late, but him and Kevin Owens make sense if that's going to be the plan. I would have loved to have seen Austin versus CM Punk when he was there in the early 2010s, but I think Austin just wants to get a big money match before he can't do it anymore because he's getting close to 60. So I think if he can have an opponent that he trusts like a Kevin Owens, and I think it'll work.
Right.
You know, God bless him. If all the injuries he's had through the years, and you know, with his age and everything, if he can get through this match at WrestleMania, God bless him, man. And with, you know, with a guy, right guy to help him through it, like Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And everything. You know what I mean? If he can do it, God bless him, man. Because, you know, not many of us have that opportunity because, you know, due to separate, like, injuries and age and, you know, life, et cetera. So, I mean, God bless him if he can come back and do it again one more time, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just pray that he don't get, you know, suffering injury or anything like that. Cause his neck and his knees is, you know, gave him a problem early in his career.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. We almost saw two injuries recently at that Chamber show with Madcap Moss getting dropped and then Bobby Lashley getting concussed. That was crazy.
Yeah, I read somewhere where he was already injured with the Rumble match with Lesnar. It was with a shoulder injury.
Oh, yeah. He's taken like 4 months off is what I just heard.
Yeah. Man, sad.
Yeah.
I hope he heals up.
Yeah.
Right. And then Kenny Omega hasn't even come back yet because he's still recovering. Sorry, whoever went first.
Yeah. Yeah. With some of the guys, though, and I hate to say it, some of their injuries, it's the muscles and all the other things, the tendons and the ligaments don't go with the steroids. The muscle will grow, but the tendons and ligaments don't multiply or don't grow. My doctor, I just took a cortisone in my right shoulder, and he says, you know, next time we're probably going to have to do what we did to your left. And I sat down and said, oh, no, we're not. I'll just take another shot. No, I can deal 6 months or 7 months, you know. torn rotator cuff ain't nothing. I just play with my TheraPen and go about my little merry way.
Right.
Because, yeah, this left shoulder that's total artificial, it's fine. But I can't build any strength in it. You know, if I have something over my head and I pull it down with my right arm and my left arm goes to catch it, well, he's going to land on my head or my right arm's going to be catching it because I don't have any strength in that shoulder in the left until it gets to my chest. You know, so anything over my head and the left arm, there is no strength in that left, in that artificial shoulder. And the doctor says, well, you know, they haven't been able to improve them whenever. And I was back in 2010 when I had the shoulder put in.
Uh-huh.
It was one of the first shoulders. I mean, my doctor did it with the one that made or did the first one in Atlanta. They were on the phone here in mm-hmm. Columbia, talking through internet and over computers to make sure he was doing everything right with the shoulder, because at one mm-hmm. point he wanted me to go to Atlanta to have the shoulder replaced. And it's like,
oh wow,
well. Yeah, I'm not going to have to run back and forth to Atlanta for a doctor to, for the therapy when I've been going to you for over a year to get this surgery scheduled. So
right.
But the only thing that I have a problem with is that I've never been, since 2010, I've never been able to get the, you know, and I'm now bench press. I can bench press fine, but I can do pull downs fine. But to do a military press, the left shoulder won't. I can get to my shoulder and come up to my chest, but it I can't get in any higher. You know, so. But you know, I sit there and said, you know, I've learned to deal with it. So, but you know,
I was going to tell you earlier. Bill Goldberg told me about. Being in the ring with Ric Flair a while back on, I think it was one of the Nitros, and he elevated Ric up for the jackhammer, his finish, right? And Ric Flair was whispering in his ear as he's up in the air. He's like, Bill, I love you, and I'm 49 years old at the time.
Oh, yeah. yes, many times whenever I was on the road with Rhonda Singh or Ripper Collins or Monster Ripper overseas, and it's like she'd be doing something to me, and it's like, I love you to death, don't forget it. there's a lot of people that sit there and said, you know, and she was so big and she lifted heavy that she didn't realize how strong she was. And I sit there and said, a lot of people said, you know, well, they quit because whenever they was in Mexico, she tried to hurt them. And I sit there and said, you know, she didn't try to hurt you. You know, I mean, you just had to learn that she was used to Japan and Mexico, and in the females, they tried to kill us. unless you showed them that you'd fight back, they would try to physically hurt you in Japan and Mexico. Mm. And I said, I'd go out there. My very first trip, I got 35 stitches in Tokyo in the back of my head, and they did not give me a night off. They wrapped my head like I was a mummy. And I'd go out and have to have a match, and then they'd take me to the hospital to make sure none of the stitches broke and disinfect it, and I'd be working the next night, you know, and then back to the hospital to make sure everything was okay and none of the stitches broke. But my very first night in Tokyo, Japan, at the Tokyo Dome, I got 35 stitches put in the back of my head, and I sit there and said, I learned that the next night I just went out there and said, they might have said they didn't understand me, but when I started throwing punches and say, I'm going to kill you, and they learned to back off. Y'all try to kill me, well, I'm going to kill you first.
Susan, you got it, man. You got it. I tell you, that is the greatest statement in history. I'm going to kill you.
Well, Rick had sat there and said one time that we'd got in front of fans and everything, and he sat there and said, you know, this woman beat me all over the world. We've traveled together all over, and we have. We've been in different tours in New Zealand and India and everywhere. And I sat there and said, no, he's lying to y'all. I've never beat him anywhere. I've never laid a hand on him. But I have threatened to kill him. I said, he scared me so bad with his driving. I would sit there and tell him, if we wrecked and it didn't kill me when I got out of it, I'd kill him before he died. And he'd just laugh, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's, and of course the fans and his attorney there in Charlotte, they just laughed. They said, you told him. I thought, well, he scared me so bad, you know. That was all I could think of. And I said, the first time I ever rode with him, I was only 17 years old. He'd got his Cadillac, and I said, I about had a heart attack. I thought running 80 miles an hour because the speed limit was 70 was fast, and I sat there and said, here, he had a new Cadillac, and he was running 100.
No. Oh my God!
Light poles were clicking by, and I thought, "Oh my God, we are going to die." Yeah.
And thank goodness, Susan, you're still here with us.
Oh yeah, I'm still kicking. It may be a little slow every once in a while, but I can still kick.
Amazing. Well, I'll tell you what, it has been an absolutely wonderful show tonight. We have had so many superstars on here, and we have had so many great opinions, so many great stories and everything, and I'd like to close it up. I'd like to go around the table. Sinister, you got us started. What do you have going on?
Right now, nothing. I'm just still training and going to the gym, you know, just keeping myself regular. But, you know, if something comes up, you know, y'all be the first to know.
All right.
Appreciate it, brother.
Papa Stro.
Yes, sir.
Papa Stro, what have you got going on?
Well, this week, okay, in the room, Tuesday night on VOC Nation. com at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Thursday night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. We'll be discussing the greatest moments in wrestling history. So if you have a favorite moment you'd like to share, please call in. And Friday night on my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time at my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. Friday night's feature will be Diary of a Madman, starring Vincent Price. So please tune in for that. And then I have a horror movie out on Vimeo that just premiered last week called Stench of Iniquity, which you can check out on Vimeo.com. So all you can do is type in Stench of Iniquity in the Vimeo.com search to go to it, so you can watch it for free. And thank you for having me. It's been a blast tonight.
Absolutely, we are thrilled to have you and the great Susan Green. The queen of professional wrestling. What have you got going on?
Still healing from the torn ligament or tendons in my ankle and broke leg and ankle or fractured leg and ankle. Hopefully tomorrow when I see the doctor, he'll release me and say I'm good to start training again. And I'm going to push Nikita Koloff's net, Koloff.net and the truthnetwork.com. He has the man up show with Nikita Koloff. This guy's podcast, his service very outstanding, and he does you look up the truthnetwork.com or Koloff.net and you can see where he talked about his career and Christ, but the service he did today was very, very moving and understanding, and he will be in Rock Hill for the Man Up show, and it's with Nikita Koloff, and it's strictly for the men, which cursed everybody, all the women kind of amen in church today because he says, we always do something, that y'all always do something that we can always figure out something that you should have done different. But I sit there and just, he's good. Whenever he walked away from wrestling, he never looked back, you know, so, and he did not, he tried his hands on many things before he received Christ, but, And with me, I'm just looking forward to where I can get released, to where I can start training and getting back in the ring myself.
Well, we will look forward to seeing the great Susan Green back in the ring, and Papa Stroh and Sinister and Steve Logan and Granny. And we've had a great show tonight. We've had a lot of fun. And we'll be back next week. Rain, snow, sheet, sleet, or shine, we will be back here next week on Pro Wrestling Interviews. And it's been great having absolutely everyone. So take care, and we will see you next time.
Okay. Love y'all, guys.
Peace.